You're listening to Michael Waters on Co-op Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Conscious Living Radio. I'm Tasha Sims. Welcome to the show. And tonight's guest, Rose Marcus, evolutionary astrologer. She's also a columnist, lecturer, teacher, and author. Her first book, Insights into Evolutionary Astrology, was published in 2010. Now she's at work on her second. She also has written for numerous publications, including a weekly astrology column for the Georgia Strait newspaper here in Vancouver. She lectures at conferences in Canada and the U.S., and she's been a regular featured guest on several TV shows, such as Breakfast TV in Vancouver, and featured monthly on an internet radio show called Guiding Stars Radio. So part of tonight's focus, we have a solar eclipse coming up, and I understand from doing a little bit of research on her website that a lunar eclipse brings up matters to a peak, but a solar eclipse infuses more dynamic life into endings and beginnings. So that's August 21st. And it seems like it's going to have more than usual influence. So we're going to find out why, and we'll take a look to the heavens with Rose. Maybe it'll help us understand some of the current madness politically, socially, and personally. Welcome to the show, Rose. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, good. I can hear you. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on the show again.
Yeah. So, hey, before we get to the specifics about the solar eclipse, I'm always kind of aware that sometimes listeners tune in and they don't know a lot about astrology. So can you just give us, pretend you're in a room full of skeptics, it's Astrology 101. What would you say to them to help them understand that astrology has value and is actually real?
Well, you know, it's all about the energy pulls, and we feel those energy pulls. You know, if you are standing in a room talking to somebody and they get a little too close to you, you might, and you don't want that to happen, you might stand back a little, right? Mm-hmm. If you like that person that you're talking to, you might come in a little bit closer, but you can feel their energy field, you know? You know, we're always registering that. And the stars, you know, they're all they all have a magnetic energy that resonates. You know, the sun, the planets that orbit around the sun keeps everything through its gravitational pull, and the energy it supplies keeps all of the planets in their orbit, and so everything is connected. And we know, for example, if you have no belief in astrology, you know, when a full moon happens, everybody's complaining about it. You know, there's the intensity. We know when we feel those, you know, we are made up primarily of water, and we feel the tides as they're coming in and out, you know. So I always say that there are many, many things beyond what we can see with our eye. And you know, we can feel emotions, and we have senses, and so on. You know, for those who don't know anything about astrology, I just say be open. If it's not for you, great, that's perfectly fine. But astrologers or people have been looking at the heavens since man was on the planet, and primitive man watched the stars in order to make sense of timing and seasons and so on. So you know, the first look up at the heavens were really to try to devise timing and cycles and so on. And definitely, life is all about cycles. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know you consider yourself an evolutionary astrologer. How is that different than what most people might think when they think about astrology?
Well, there are many, many, many different branches of astrology, and evolutionary astrology is a specialty branch. I studied under a particular teacher, Jeffrey Wolf Green. He pioneered a methodology and greatly expanded the concepts of the archetypes, and gave that name to his work. Evolutionary astrology looks at the birth chart in terms of looking to understand the nature of the soul, to understand the evolution of the soul, as we always say, where one has come from and where one intends on going to, and what the limitations or challenges or plus and minus are in the present moment. So all of that's seen in the chart. Mm-hmm. There are many different branches. There are, you know, what you see sometimes in the published world. You know, you can see everything from entertainment to great academic thought, and spiritual to financial. Everything under the rainbow.
And why would the stars reveal that evolutionary progress of the soul? How come it's there? Like, how do you map that together?
Well, you know, how I would map that is through, we look at planet Pluto to describe what the evolutionary journey is. And planet Pluto is a slow mover around our sun. It takes 248 years for it to go around once. It takes 12 to 30 years to go through a sign. When it goes 248 years around, and it's in the sign of Capricorn right now, which it has been in since from 2008 to 2024, every time Pluto goes through the sign of Capricorn, Capricorn is the archetype that corresponds to existing reality, the social world order is rearranged. Empires rise and fall. Borders and boundaries change. And we have been seeing this since 2008. Empires rise and fall. 248 years was the birth of the supernation we now know as the USA. And we now see an awful lot going on with that country in particular.
Mm-hmm. Which I really would like to sort of dig into and see if we can map that over to the 21st and the solar eclipse. But I find that fascinating. On your website, which I think people would get so much information from if they wanted a journey. So let's just tell them that, first of all.
Yes, my website is rosemarcus.com. And on my website, I have articles on the solar eclipse, on the eclipses that we're experiencing right now, and more information on some world events, Donald Trump's chart, and, you know, a batch of different things that you can find there, various articles I've written over time. And I do a monthly forecast as well, too, and you can sign up to get my free monthly forecast if you wish. And then I write a weekly column for the Georgia Strait, which I post up there as well, too. So there's lots of information to support you in terms of discovering what the stars are doing right now.
So let's do that. Let's discover it. Because, you know, Trump, I looked at Trump's chart. Not that I know how to read a chart, but I just thought, this is wild. There's so much madness going on in the world right now. And I was very curious to have you on the show and have you comment, as you do in your writing. What do you see when you look at his chart? What's important to note in terms of what's going on right now?
In my opinion, Donald Trump is perfectly well positioned to be effective in carrying out his evolutionary mission at the moment. And, you know, it might sound like a bizarre thing for me to say, but he has, for the sake of anybody who understands astrology out there, he has, he was born under an eclipse, a lunar eclipse, and he has Uranus right up at the top of the chart. He is meant to be a disruptive agent. He is meant to produce chaos. And when he does that, he's shaking things up. When things get when things are shaken like that, it loosens everything, right? You mm-hmm. know, and it displaces everything. And this is exactly what's happening. He's creating chaos or creating diversions or, you know, whatever he's doing. And this allows for there to be an acceleration of a repositioning, you know, at many, many different levels. I think we have a lot of players right now who are front and center in terms of steering the collective evolution. Putin is one. Kim Jong-un is another. Bashar al-Assad is another, you know, and so on. And these are not very nice forces at play, right? Mm-hmm. But we can certainly see that, you know, as disruptive energy happens, this allows, you know, when we enter into chaos, this allows for things to break apart, right? You know, everything comes unglued, you know. Mm-hmm. And what the downside of that is that that allows for opportunists to go to work, right? You know, mm-hmm. So anybody who is, you know, on the on their own agenda can certainly push that forward. Mm-hmm. And we see that playing out with the names that I just mentioned.
And you also have Kim Jong-un's chart there, and I know Trump was, you know, quite criticized for being so confrontational. I'm wondering if, when you look at Kim Jong-un's chart, can you get a sense of how it would be best to approach him based on looking at his chart? Is it that direct confrontational, or is there something else that would be more effective?
Well, you know, now I have to say something about Kim Jong-un's chart. And by the way, I did a recording on YouTube exactly on the eclipses. So you can find out information on my website about that as well, too. But this is what I have to say about Kim Jong-un's chart. We are not certain of his birth date. Yeah. We don't know what year. There are two years out for him, 1983 and 1984. And I am using the 1984 chart because I read somewhere about a relative or so on who had a son the same age, and she was their babysitter, right? You know, so something along that line. So I was using that 1984 chart. So first of all, I have to qualify that. We're not entirely sure. However, he does have the eclipses have been very, very hot on his chart. Saturn transiting Pluto over Sun. You know, I don't want to throw at these things too much for listeners who don't know astrology very much. But let me just say that it's obvious that that there's something being activated in him. And I think that the whole scenario with what I called the war of words, you know, mm-hmm. between Trump and Kim Jong-un, I thought was absolutely wonderful on Kim Jong-un's behalf, I would think, because this is exactly what he wants, is attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, any attention is good attention, you know, basically. So, and I read somewhere there that, you know, he may be all those different things, but he's not crazy. And I think that this was just taunting, you know, the whole taunting piece of that. And if you look at, again, country charts as well, too, we have a chart for North Korea as well, too, and that's also very telling. It's this idea of world domination or, you know, wanting to control, you know, and so forth. You know, Kim Jong-un is exercising his power. He's testing his parameters. Just as they said, you know, the rebellious teen, right? You know, mm-hmm. he's the bad child in the mix, right? You know, and all that kind of stuff. Well, all of these things are really quite tests, but they get him just that much further along. Are we out of the woods with World War III? Well, I'm not entirely sure about that, but thank God nothing happened so far. you know, at any moment, anything can happen. I think that he is going to continue his programs, his agendas, every bit of them. He's just getting started, Kim Jong, you know. So needing to handle him with kid gloves, yes, absolutely. You know, our sanctions effective to a certain point. You know, I'm not sure what the tipping point is going to be, but I will say this, is that I don't think, you know, if I'm using the chart that for 1984, you know, I think that this is someone who's very tenacious about advancing his agenda. You know, mm-hmm. So I don't think we're going to see him back down anytime soon. You mm-hmm. know. And I do think that that Trump, you know, he is, as I said, he's being very effective in what he's doing. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. you know, we have no real idea. I mean, we're outsiders observing all of this going, oh, my God, you know, look at how terrible he's doing and so on. You know, this may be the way he runs business all the time. So when we think like, oh, my God, that was a real faux pas. He shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. He may be used to doing this all along and just carrying on. So what we think of is like, oh, my God. He might just think of like, oh, blow it off, do the next one. You know, and he certainly seems to have a lot of that bravado going for him anyway. Trump is, let me say this about the eclipse. The eclipse is dynamic on Donald Trump's chart. Every astrologer is talking about it. And this is because the eclipse takes place at 28, almost 29 degrees of Leo. And his rising sign or ascendant is 29 degrees of Leo. And whenever an eclipse is going to hit directly on your chart, then that's going to feature you, or you're going to be a main player. And eclipses are wild cards. You know, typically astrologers say that they are newer full moons on steroids. You know, this really punches up the energy of that. When you are born on an eclipse, like Donald Trump is, and then he's got this eclipse on his chart, you know, as we say, you eclipse everybody else, right? You know, so what's going on for you, what your soul's agenda is, what your evolutionary piece is, whether you rise or fall, or, you know, whether you explode, you know, all those things. And so Donald Trump is really a lead player, as we have seen. You know, it's very hard to control this guy. He's got Uranus, so he's just as rebellious as Kim Jong is, you know, and Putin is as well too. I mean, they're all going to carry on with whatever they are carrying on with.
There's such a high degree of reactivity, like beyond, you know, there's always political kind of reactivity, but this is so out in the open. And so, you know, he's twittering. Presidents don't Twitter. It's so reactive, defensive, childlike almost. It's as if, right?
Yes, absolutely childlike. And he has several planets in Cancer, which is a child archetype. And while he was campaigning for president, he had a progressed moon in Cancer, too. So he's very pouty. You know, it's like, oh, you guys are hurting me. You have to make it better. You know, yeah, absolutely. He's very childlike. Donald Trump is a Gemini. And he's got that Uranus in Gemini as well, too, which is just, saying it right off the, you know, off the cuff, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But what's happening with him is, you know, what's going to happen with Donald Trump? Well, you know what? Gemini is an archetype of multiple or diverse, you know, and so we've got everything going. You know, we've got the NAFTA just starting. We've got you know, the transgender, you know, thing he did the other day, and the fact that he hasn't the thing that just happened here with
Charlottetown,
you know, yeah. And it's just like, just when you think like he's checked all the boxes, here's one more. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it, you know, it's going to keep going like that. The Leo archetype is a creator archetype. It's this particular eclipse, new moon, solar eclipse, total eclipse, is about creations, or you know, what we are creating, and everything that is being created now has a dynamism with it, a potency that is beyond the average. You know, as they're saying, you know, you can touch a button, or you can, you know, strike a match, and you've got a whole wildfire going, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whatever it is has more dynamism right now, and that's certainly the potency. Every seed that is being planted, you know, is very dynamic, and we came out of like eclipses. What I say about eclipses are that they are like plucking the string of a musical instrument. They have a magnetic resonance that happens over a period of time. And eclipses themselves, you know, they are event generating, especially a solar eclipse. But the eclipse is part of a process. It's part of a cycle. It's the culmination of a cycle. So by the time we get to the eclipse, whether it's a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse, something has already been in the works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so something continues after that as well, too, right? So this is what we see building up. This eclipse, this solar eclipse, is very important for the USA. And, you know, as I said, I've got more information on the YouTube that I did and some maps and, you know, things for you to see. But the important thing about this eclipse, the history-making piece of this, is that the eclipse has several ways that it is potent. And one of them is the eclipse path, where it travels. And this eclipse path makes a cross-section across the U.S. I'm sure most people have seen that going from Oregon to South Carolina. It goes right across. And this is the first eclipse that has actually done this since this country was born. And there was an eclipse in 1918, but that eclipse did not start in the USA. This eclipse actually starts in the Pacific Ocean, but the first landfall is the USA. That's what qualifies this one from the last one, which also did cut across, went from Washington to Florida. It did cut across. But the eclipses, we have to look where they start. That eclipse, it was very interesting, that eclipse in 2018 started in Japan. And 2018 was, you know, World War One was happening. And as I said, it started in Japan. There was another eclipse that is relevant to what we are experiencing right now. Another eclipse that is from the same series as the one on August 21st was 1945. In 1945, just a month after that eclipse, this is Japan to begin with, 1918. And these eclipses, one eclipse starts something, another finishes it, they carry on. It's kind of like picking up the thread and continuing on the story, right? You know, and so in 1945, the U.S., you know, launched the first nuclear bomb, Hiroshima and Fukushima, right? You know, and so that was Japan, 1918, started that eclipse, 1945, you know, the first nuclear bombs. And here we are, August 21st, and we're talking nuclear, you know, war, right? You know, so interesting the way those things are. It doesn't necessarily mean that this eclipse brings about, you know, the nuclear action, but it certainly has been a nuclear threat, correct?
And that's the thread you're talking about, is this idea of destruction, of things dissolving.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting thing. Now, this eclipse on August 21st has already been operative, and I've, you know, said this in many of my writings and so forth. Since May 9, I say that it's been triggered, and the reason it's been triggered is because that 28, 29 degrees of Leo has been, you know, has been stimulated by other transits, other things going on, ticking off those degrees. And on May 9 was the day that Trump fired Comey. And it just feels like a snowball's been happening, you know, throughout this period of time. And as I said, you know, just when I thought, like, it couldn't get any, it couldn't be anything more, there was something more.
Right? There's always something more.
So, yeah, so, you know, there's this dynamic. And so, what happens with an eclipse is that it is, as I said, a more potent new moon or full moon. And if that is, first of all, you know, it's Leo, so Leo is very dramatic, and so all of the astrologers are very hyped on this, so you're hearing a lot about it, right? You know, so you may find for yourself that nothing happens. You know, it may be like that. An eclipse, for it to be, you know, an effective trigger, has to be, you know, triggering something in your chart particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, especially with a solar eclipse, you're going to see events in the outer world, right? You know, so, of course, we see the action taking place right now, and everything is extremely volatile, you know. So this eclipse has great potency to create. What is it going to create? Well, eclipses are wild cards, you know, so it can create anything. And so it's a wild card, anything goes. What they generally say about the eclipses, and, you know, nothing is really a hard and fast rule with it, but they generally say that the time before an eclipse action taking during the time frame before an eclipse is usually folly. After the eclipse, we gain information, something happens, we get an event, a circumstance happens, we get informed. And if we knew that before the eclipse, it would change how what kind of action taking we took, right? You know, so for Kim Jun, who Asia is very, I mean, they practice a different type of astrology, but I might think that he would be watching his stars for sure, right? You know, and so maybe he thought that if the general rule of thumb is that you don't take action before an eclipse because it's doomed to failure, then he may be waiting for the 21st before he, you know, makes a choice.
Okay, that's a gloomy thought.
That's a very gloomy thought. Yes, it is. And I really hope that that doesn't happen. But my sense about it is that that he has probably gotten what he needed out of it so far. And I would hope that Trump would keep his mouth shut, because even today with him saying, oh, I think, you know, whatever the thing was, is that he's saying that Kim Jong is very wise, you know. I mean, that's kind of a condescension thing, you know. He's very wise because he's, you know, stepping down.
He knows who
the power is, you know. So however he interprets that might, you know, I mean, that could be a real piss off, if, excuse my language. But,
well,
you know.
Yeah, and it's interesting you use the word wild card with solar eclipse. Trump's a complete wild card. It's just, it just goes on and on and on, right?
Completely unpredictable. Yeah. As I said, he has Uranus conjunct his sun binatal and so forth. And so this is very unpredictable. And you can't expect, well, let me say this about his chart. So the eclipse is the 21st of August, which is coming up pretty soon here, a few days away. And that would be a trigger, and, you know, we're just watching everything between now and then. But we have the transits of, we have Mercury right now in the sign of retrograde. It's currently traveling through the sign of Virgo. And we have Mars on its forward march in the sign of Leo. Between the 30th of September and, sorry, I meant to say August, 30th of August and September 5th, both Mercury and Mars are going to re-stimulate the eclipse of the 21st. And there is another, you know, kind of rule in astrology that that whatever the transit of Mars is will trigger the eclipse, and that could be 6 months later, you know, 3 months later it triggers, and then you're going to get the full whammy on the eclipse. Well, that's September 1st to September 5th. So I expect there to be a lot of action in those dates, right? And there are many trigger dates also through the month of September. And there's still kind of a finish off. Eclipses take place along, well, actually, maybe I won't get into that. It's too much astrology. But we go through an 18-month cycle that the eclipses are taking place in the same sign axis. We started that on May 9, so the eclipses for the next 18 months are in the Leo-Aquarius axis. And prior to that, it was Virgo-Pisces. That Virgo-Pisces chapter, the 18 months prior to that, does a fruition piece, or a culmination piece, rather than fruition, on September 19. And there's more. So, you know, cycles dovetail on other cycles, right? So I think that the month of September will continue to be triggered off and on, continuous right through the end of the month. And as I was saying, for personal life journeys, and solar eclipses in particular, that's a new moon. So a new moon is a new cycle. And when we have a solar eclipse, we have a more dynamic finish cycle and begin cycle. We have two things going on, an ending and a beginning of significance, right? And generally with eclipses, what takes place with them can be something very abrupt. And, you know, and that, whatever that, you know, can be jarring or it could be exciting, but it can be just a single moment, you know, boom. But the change that it creates is lasting, right? You know, so we take that a lot of times. If it's jarring, it's very hard to process, you know. It takes us some time to gather up that energy.
So what will, What will one see looking up at the sky?
Well, you know, here in Vancouver, we're at about 90 degrees. So I've never seen, you know, a total solar eclipse, or I don't remember seeing one. So I'm very curious to see how, you know, how dark the day gets, you know. My grandmother told me about solar eclipses when she was a young girl, and she was, you know, young, and it was very frightening to her, you know, mm-hmm. for the sun to disappear in the day, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, the ancients, you know, looked at eclipses as ominous, foreboding, you know, death to the king, you know, hail the new king. But eclipses don't necessarily, you know, sometimes they can be brilliant. And if it is a time has come moment for you, then your ability to create is outstanding. You know, mm-hmm. it is, you know, it's exceptional right now. Leo is an archetype that we give the word special to, significant, mm-hmm. you know. So this could be an opportunity in a lifetime for you, you know, if you are poised and ready for your next stage of evolution to take place.
Right.
Now, the one thing I wanted to say about this eclipse, it is so dynamic. There are a couple of, you know, additional factors with that, but Uranus plays into this eclipse. The eclipse is 28 degrees Leo, and Uranus is transiting the sign of Aries. And whenever we, in astrology, we're looking at things, we're looking at elements, so fire to fire, earth to earth, and so on, right? You know, that's going to mm-hmm. facilitate. So Uranus in Aries, it's been a seven-year transit going through the sign of Aries. Uranus is the new and improved, and Aries is breaking new ground. So you've got a double statement on that transit. And that's this whole thing of, you know, Uranus is an accelerator. Eclipses, by the way, move us a lot faster along the timelines, too. They're accelerators, pedal to metal.
Mm-hmm.
And so Uranus is situated facilitating this particular eclipse, 28 degrees Aries. And Uranus in Aries, you know, that's a rebellious, that's a perfect statement for the Charlottetown, riot, you know, rioting and taking it to the streets and all that kind of stuff. That event was also triggered by the lunar eclipse that we had 2 weeks ago, which was Aquarius social revolt, right? You know, mm-hmm. so we've got supremacist is an Aquarius theme. Just take my word for it. You know, so I'm special, you're not. You know, I'm better mm-hmm. than you, you're not. Right? You know, these kinds of dynamics coming into play. However, what I wanted to say about planet Uranus is that Uranus. And I've been on your show before, and I've talked about Mercury retrograde. And for those who don't know what retrograde means, retrograde is an apparent backward motion of the planet. We are standing on the Earth looking at the planets in the sky. Our Earth is rotating a different speed than the planet is. So there's this apparent, you know, motion of the planet traveling backwards for a while. All the planets do it, except for the Moon and the Sun, of course, and we're standing on the Earth. But So Uranus turned retrograde, it does this annually on August 2nd. And it will stay retrograde until January 2nd of 2018. So when a planet turns retrograde, it inhibits the energy, it pulls it back. So that which was, you know, this normal course, we were, you know, firing it up this way, oh, we're pulling back a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe mm-hmm. Kim Jong is pulling back a little bit. And when it's Uranus in Aries, it's a heating up from within, and it can be an implosion like we saw in Charlottetown, right? You know, so we have that kind of implosion type of energy, but it is a heating up energy. Anyway, the point with that is that this eclipse on August 21st, in my estimation, is at least a six-month program of stoking the fire, building up the energy, you know, lighting the pilot light mm-hmm. for something. So for you in your personal life, it may be a match strike right now, and you may be off to the races. If you are not, know that any time between now and about February next year, you know, that that very potent seed can start to germinate and start to create that good fire for you, whatever it might be. And this is going to take us forward. Uranus, the transit of Uranus, will be triggering this eclipse all the way through 2018 and into 2019. So eclipses, you know, when they strike, they are going to have an effectiveness that can be over a length of time for years, right? You know, mm-hmm. So this one is good to go for, you know, as they say, locked and loaded, you know, ready to go for some time to come.
And is there anything you want to say about Canada on the world stage or Trudeau or anything that's...
Well, you know, I mentioned just a bit of this as well, too, but Canada's chart is not being directly referenced by this, but Canada had a few years ago, and I'm sorry, I don't quite remember, but on Canada Day a few years ago, Canada had a solar eclipse on its birthday. And for me, that was the start of Canada taking its kind of rightful place. You know, Canada's always been kind of in the shadow of its big brother or something, yeah. You know. And you see that we are gaining quite a good reputation on the world stage, and we're now taking a more leadership role. And I do see that continuing for Canada. Certainly Donald Trump's chart, Gemini, you know, he's affecting all of his neighbors, and we are his most important neighbor, you know. So, you know, whatever, you know, kind of chaos that he's creating, we have to adjust, right? You mm-hmm. know, and I do think that Trudeau is doing a pretty good job in so far, you know, kind of dodging the bullets, I would mm-hmm. think, mm-hmm. with Trump in particular still on his good side, you know. And I think Macron there in France was trying to do that as well, to somehow figure that if he could forge a relationship with him, he might have more ability to be effective in you know, kind of you know, steering him, if possible, if anybody can, you mm-hmm. know. I think, you know, so I see that this is this is happening.
And if you were to go through the signs, I wonder if you couldn't give our listeners a sense, just generally, because obviously it would depend on what planets they have where, but if you can give them a general idea of how this solar eclipse might impact them based on their sign.
Well, you know what? That is really too big a request. So let me put it this way. That if, first of all, if you're a Leo or an Aquarius, you know, in my monthly column, I think I threw out some dates for the signs. If you were Aquarius and you're born this, you know, and so on, you'll find that information on my site. But let me say that if you are a Leo, for one, you know, that's going to be dynamic on your chart. If you are an Aquarius, your chart is going to oppose at some point that Leo. So that's going to be dynamic for you. Then we look at the elements, as I said, fire to fire, and so the Leo eclipse, this Leo eclipse, can be very wonderful for Aries and Sag, for example, Sagittarius, because those are fire signs. So Aries and Sagittarius can get the benefit of this eclipse, except that Aries is a double whammy, because Uranus is going over, you know, Aries right now. So it can be really great for some and very very shattering for others, right? You know, mm-hmm. it all depends on your individual charts. Taurus and Scorpio are dynamically set up with this solar eclipse. So that is very catalytic, and that can be a very eventful severing of ties and moving forward in an abrupt new direction for both of those signs. The air signs maybe more fluidity in that, because there's a, you know, kind of a more ease and flow with, and that'd be Gemini, Libra, Aquarius. Is again, as I said, is dynamically referencing the eclipse, and Donald Trump is a Gemini, and this chart is dynamically the eclipse is dynamically hitting him because of his particular chart. For a Gemini, it it can be a wonderful creative opportunity, for example, and mm-hmm. so on. The water signs are not, let me say that the water signs can be it just depends somewhat like the air signs in terms of kind of a creative opportunity or a transformative piece that is perhaps well timed, and these are far too general.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, Virgo, is very Virgo and Pisces can maybe take a direct hit off these eclipses because the eclipse at 29 degrees is very, 30 is the zero of the next sign. So Virgo Pisces might feel this August 21st eclipse as dynamic, and the eclipse that we just had as well too, as dynamic, because the eclipse is very close to the beginner of the sign. It's very hard for me to give that because mm-hmm. One size doesn't fit all, and all charts are very unique. So if you really wanted to know, get your chart done and figure out where mm-hmm. it exactly is falling.
Right. Because that's what I was going to ask you. The most effective way to get value from astrology would be to do a reading with time and have your own personal chart mapped out, yes?
Yes. I give enough information with my monthly columns and my weekly columns to give you dinner, it's nothing like getting your personal chart done. It's apples and oranges as far as that goes. There's so much to draw from the chart, and it's such a good personal tool. And as I say, so long as you know where on the wheel you sit, you can be okay with it. As mm-hmm. if you're time to be really taking a risk in that creative venture. And let me just say, I've been talking about creator energy, but let me just say that Leo is the archetype, the sign that correlates to the heart. And so, what is your heart journey? This is about you coming back to center and finding yourself at your own creative center and finding yourself standing in your own heart. What is your heart's desire? And do you believe that you deserve? And what kind of, what can you put into play to reach out for that? Go when you go with all your heart. When you do that, the products of your creation are masterpieces. When mm-hmm. you're not standing in your own heart, when you create from that void. It will not serve you. It will not satisfy you. It will not feed your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the moment to have a discourse with your heart.
And in terms of relationship, is there anything you want to share with our listeners?
Well, yes, absolutely. And so eclipses, they take place along the karmic axis. And so when we have an eclipse, and this eclipse happens to be on the North Node, which is a fruition, relive, or fruition and relive archetype here. So you have the ability to call forth, something quite legendary. You could call forth in terms of that. That love of all times. That's well within the range of potential.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Leo also rules children. So if it's not a mate, it could be that special child as well too. Mm-hmm. Progeny goes under this as well too. Mercury is retrograde right now. And besides the usual Murphy's Law stuff that Mercury retrograde is, it is, and especially aligned with the eclipse, is key person, key circumstance, key event. So, yes, there is the potential to call forth in this very dynamic way. And I say in terms of, anybody out there, the consensus that they took in Canada recently is saying that there are more people living single now in Canada, and I would say that that's on the planet as well, too,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's our social milieu, our social dynamics of the time. That's what we've done. And we've been on this, you know, we go to these extremes and then we come back to center, right? We go to an extreme and we come back to center. The world is out of order. You know, we are totally out of balance with a natural state. And it's not natural for us to be, you know, a whole bunch of singletons on the planet, right? You know, so it's time for this to change. So there have been a lot of cycles and so on that haven't been very fruitful in terms of, you know, finding that one to connect with. But this is
a good time.
This is certainly one that can do it. And as I said, you know, if nobody shows up right now, know that this particular eclipse is in a dynamic process for at least the next 6 to 8 months and for the next 2 years.
We've got to wrap it up here, and I just loved having you. Thank you for joining us. Again, tell people where your website is.
RoseMarcus.com. And Marcus is M-A-R-C-U-S, by the way.
Thanks so much. We've been speaking with Rose Marcus, evolutionary astrologer on Conscious Living Radio, Co-op Radio in Vancouver, 100.5 FM. I'm Tasha Sims. Good night.
Was your messy heart chosen, or was it overlooked? Are you the crazy in the corner, writing it in your book? Well, and a cynic with a cynic's hook. A sudden I'll skyfall. Are you to be taken from? By craft or by bombs, that would rage, I would rage into an army. I would sing you back a song. Recognition of little perfects. All hands up, don't sleep through it. And no one knows how much time. How much time is there?
Hello. Welcome to discussion on Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM. I'm Joseph Terrio, your host, and we'd like to welcome you. And one of the things that we would like to talk about in the midst of all the chaotic developments on the